So John 14, beginning at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here.
Chris, thank you very much for reading, and good afternoon, everyone. Lovely to see you. I think you should get sort of added St. Nick's Talks loyalty points for making it through the rain today. So I hope you've got a good umbrella to get you back. As Chris said, we're going to be looking at those verses from John's Gospel, so do please keep them open. Now, if you're able to join us last week, we thought about this question. How can anybody know the Father? That is, how can anybody know the Father God who made us, the Creator God, the invisible Creator God, who offers eternal life to us? And we saw, if you were able to join us, that essentially the answer is Jesus. Okay, Jesus, we said, has revealed the invisible God to us. Jesus is the Son of God, we said. That is, he's the Son of God the Father. And we can know God simply by looking at Jesus. Verse 9 of chapter 14 was sort of the verse we zoomed in on, wasn't it? Verse 9, Jesus said to Philip, Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And we saw that we can know the Father just by seeing Jesus' works. Jesus' words, we said, in fact. His very words reveal the Father to us. And then we saw he sends his Spirit to men and women who keep his words. Anyone can know God, we said, if only they would look at Jesus. You'll remember Jesus here speaking these words on the night that he is betrayed, preparing his disciples for life in the world without him. And yet it's not, of course, that simple, is it, for us 2,000 years later, to just look at Jesus. I mean, you'll have noticed, if you've noticed anything about this gathering, that Jesus is not currently with us in person, is he? And it's not even that simple for us to hear the words of Jesus, is it? I mean, I've got my phone, but if you looked him up on Spotify, I don't think you'd find an artist known as the Lord Jesus, or at least if you did, I think it wouldn't actually be him. You know, it sounds so nice, doesn't it, to say that Jesus has revealed the Father to us, to say that there's light and there's love and there's life available in Jesus. But haven't we just missed out? You know, we never met the man, Christ Jesus. How has Jesus Christ revealed the Father to us 2,000 years later? And I think that's something like the issue that's raised for us here by Jesus. Lord, verse 22, says Judas, and remember it's just Jesus and his disciples in the room at this point. Lord, don't you need to go a bit further than us? You know, don't you need to show yourself beyond these first disciples? If you love the world, Jesus, as you say you do, why are you leaving us? Verse 22 of chapter 14 says that, doesn't it? Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it," or we might better translate it, "for what reason is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Now, it's worth just being clear that Judas is right to make a distinction here between those in the room with Jesus and us, and between those in the world around them and Jesus' first disciples. Judas knows what he's doing when he makes a distinction between them and us. If you've ever read this bit of John's Gospel, you know that one of the really difficult things about understanding what's going on is that for every great whoever, which you get in verse 24, or an anyone in verse 23, there's something like verse 26 that's said specifically to Jesus' disciples. Jesus, in other words, distinguishes between the them, the earliest disciples, and us. And our subject then for this lunchtime is the strategy of Jesus. How does Jesus intend to make the invisible God known to us? How can we, living 2,000 years after he's returned to heaven, really know the Father? And what about our colleagues all around us? How is showing them, those first disciples, of any use at all for us? And you'll see from on the handout that we've got 2 points for this lunchtime, and one of them is a them, that's point number two, and one of them is an us, that is, one of them is general, point one, and one of them is specific to the disciples. And what I want us to do is to consider the link between what Jesus says to them and what Jesus says to us. I hope that makes sense. So here's the outline. How's the world going to know the Father? Point one, as God comes to dwell with those keeping his word. Point two, by teaching the 12 by his Spirit. Let's just think about that first point for a moment, shall we? Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it, for what reason is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." "Oh, if anybody loves me," says Jesus, "whoever keeps my word," this word, verse 24, that has been given me deliberately by my Father. Verse 23, he says, "we'll come to them." In fact, we will make our home with them. We'll come to live with that person, both me and my Heavenly Father. And that is an extraordinary thought, isn't it? It's an extraordinary image. The image is a family moving into a new home, a kind of house move by a son and by a father. Perhaps a new kind of a residence, a new location for them to call home. That the picture is a new dwelling place for this son and this father. We've got a family at church at the moment, moving house. It's so exciting, isn't it? What is the new home going to be like? But just look at this dwelling place, okay? Verse 23, it's Christians. "It's those who love me," says Jesus, "who keep my word." And just look at the residence, verse 23. They are Jesus and his Father God. We, if we are Christians here today, have become their home, verse 23. "We," says Jesus, that is, me and my Father, "will come to him and make our home with him." And I think this is where we must come back to what we thought about last week in verse 17 and the Spirit, because it's by the Spirit, I think Jesus is saying here, that God is going to make you his home. It's by this other helper, isn't it, that Jesus lives with us, by his Spirit. By God the Spirit, God the Father and the Son make us his home. If you're into sort of Trinitarian things, it's incredibly Trinitarian, isn't it? As the only Son returns to the Father and sends his Spirit, that the one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, makes us his home. But of course, this is a game changer, isn't it? When it comes to knowing God the Father. Because God the Father, says Jesus here, everyone who hears my words, if you hear my words, God the Father has made us his home. He's moved in, if you like, by his Spirit. We can know him as our Father. Because if we're Christian people, God has made us his home. My brother-in-law, Archie, I think I've mentioned before, is currently serving in the Irish Guard. So if you're watching the coronation on, when was it, Saturday, you might have seen him sort of prancing around outside Buckingham Palace in one of those humorous long red coats and funny hats. And one of the perks of the job that you have if you're an officer in the Guards is that you occasionally get to have lunch at the palace. So you basically get to tuck into to roast beef or whatever with the king at his home. In fact, I don't want to gloat, but Saturday evening, my wife and I were invited to a party at St. James's Palace. So I think I actually saw the king's washing out as we had a sort of good snoop around his home. But just imagine for a second, okay, that King Charles moved into Archie's apartment. Okay, Archie lives down in Kingston. Just imagine that King Charles made that his home. And imagine if he lived with him. And if he spent all his time with him, I mean, for Archie, King Charles would then become well known, wouldn't he? I mean, he wouldn't know him in the sense that you sort of know King Charles by reading about him in a Hello magazine. He would be intimately, personally known. And the point is this, Jesus, by his Spirit, he has moved in to live with the Christian. And so is his Father. God, he's made us his home. And he speaks to us through his words, in words that have been given to him by his Father. Jesus has moved into us. And so his Father can be known. Verse 24, the word that you hear, Jesus says, is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And yet again, that leaves us with a bit of a problem, doesn't it? Oh, anyone can know the Father, we're saying, if they love Jesus and if they keep Jesus' word. Anyone can have his Spirit living in them or have his Spirit dwell among them if they want to keep Jesus' word. But how can we get access to this vital word of Jesus? I mean, where can we find it now that Jesus has gone home? Is it just that you and me missed out because we didn't actually meet Jesus? Is it possible today, 2,000 years later, that God can still be known? Well, the answer is yes. And the key is our second heading. Jesus has made known his Father by teaching the 12 by his Spirit. Just have a look down at verse 25. These are really important verses for us. Verse 25, these things, says Jesus, I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, I said earlier on that there's a difference here, didn't I, between the them and between the us. That is, between the world around and Jesus' first disciples. There's a difference between them and us. And I think these words in verse 26 make that most obvious, don't they? Verse 26, he will bring to your remembrance, says Jesus, all that I have said to you. Now, I've got nothing to remember, have I? Because I simply wasn't there. Jesus did not speak to me in person like he spoke to his disciples. But you see what he's saying, verse 26? He's saying, I'm going to send my Spirit to teach you guys who were there, to teach the apostles, to teach the 12, to to teach these disciples. It's worth saying, actually, we don't know that there were 12 people in the room at the time. Maybe it would be better to have apostles or something in the heading. Chapter 16 tells us they'd been with Jesus from the beginning. They'd seen everything with their eyes. Jesus is speaking here to a privileged group of disciples. Philip Jensen, who some of you might have heard of in his excellent new book on the Holy Spirit, has a little section about something that was once said by John Lennon. John Lennon once famously said, Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting Christianity that ruins it for me. You might have heard someone in your office say something similar. And Philip Jensen says, look, he's wrong in three main ways. Okay, logically, historically, spiritually. Let me just read out what he says for you. Logically, he says it is wrong because we know almost nothing about Jesus apart from the disciples' teaching. In other words, if you want to actually know about the historical Jesus, you have to go via the disciples. They wrote the documents, the historical documents that tell us about his life. Secondly, he said historically it's wrong because the historicity of the apostles' writings has been challenged for 150 years and has stood up to the test remarkably well. In other words, for centuries now, people have been trying to say that what we have in our hands are not sort of historical documents, and always they fail because they very obviously are. But here's the point of particular relevance to us. Spiritually, it is wrong because the accurate preservation of what Jesus said was the very reason the Holy Spirit was sent into the world. When Jesus Christ ascended, John is saying, Jesus sent back from his Father, verse 26, this helper. He sent his Spirit. And he helped these disciples to remember all his words, all his teaching given him by his Father. So, it's a silly example, but we might imagine the Apostle John, okay? He wrote this book, maybe he had a beard, sitting there stroking his beard, thinking, you know, what was it that Jesus taught us about the Father? And what did he say about his nature? What did he say about his character? And then just like that, John remembers, by the Holy Spirit, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Or again, we might think of the Apostle Peter. I don't know what he looks like. Maybe he had a top knot, sitting there playing with his top knot, thinking, what was it that Jesus said about examples? You know, what did Jesus say about suffering as a Christian? And just like that, he remembers Jesus suffered to leave us an example. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. You get the point, okay? If we're to know the Father, then we need the words of Jesus. We need the words, verse 24, given him by his Father. But just before his departure, Jesus says, I'm going to give those words to these 12 apostles, to these first disciples. Verse 26, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, as we close, that is why here at the St. Nick's lunchtime talks, we love these first apostles. It's why we love their writings that we find in our New Testament. It's why we love their words, because when they speak for Jesus. They got given his words by his Spirit. And we hear Jesus speak whenever we read their words. That is, you know, to come back to the introduction, that's the link between the them and the us, isn't it? For the sake of us, Jesus gave them his words. And it's why, in fact, it is so great that Jesus is now in heaven. It's why it's a wonderful thing that we can't see him today, and that we've only, in inverted commas, got his words. That's why, in fact, it is so great that Jesus left the apostles. I mean, have you ever thought it might be better if Jesus was still in the world? I mean, he'd certainly give a better talk than this, wouldn't he? Wouldn't it be easier if Jesus was still in the world? The disciples clearly thought so, verse 27. But you see, leaving means the Spirit. And the Spirit for the apostles means we get a book like this, John's Gospel, a book full of Jesus' words. And it is so much better to have a book like this than one preacher. It means the gospel can spread around the world rather than being constrained to the place where that particular preacher is. Verse 22, one last time, Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Verse 25, "These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." There is no greater privilege than coming to know our Father, than knowing the one true God, the God who made the world. That is the way to know true life. Knowledge of God our Father, and now, through Jesus Christ, we have his very word. Let me pray, and then I'll hand back to Chris. Thank you, loving Heavenly Father, that we can no longer see Jesus. Thank you that he has ascended to your right hand, and he has sent his Holy Spirit. And in sending his Holy Spirit, he's given us his word. We thank you that even today in London, we can hear the words of Jesus, and we can know you through that same word. So thank you so much for the Lord Jesus and for his Spirit. And we pray that increasingly you would be known around the world. Amen.